Welcome to Secondhand Film Critics, your favorite source for mildly pretentious, semi-uneducated, and highly unqualified opinions on movies. I am, let me do a Christmas name. What is, the Grinch? I am the Grinch, and I am here with my co-host.
Noah!
See, I can't do that with my name.
That was the first. I thought that was on the spot, man.
What if you did ho ho hoa? I'm trying to think if there's anything I can do with my name, but I don't think there is.
I don't know. Comment down below if you can think of a good Christmas name that goes with Kayla. But until then, we move along to our second holiday episode of three.
Yes. So the first one was our almost Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one is our third annual, sort of. It's going to be a little different, but our Hallmark, create your own Hallmark, talking about Hallmark movies, blah, 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 blah. And then our, or I should say, ho, 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 ho. And then.
That was one of the stupidest.
Thank you for your pity laugh. And then our next Christmas episode will be reviewing 2022 Christmas movies that have come out this year.
Mm-hmm. Let's kick it off, though, with our question of the week answers. If you don't know, we always start our episodes with talking about the question we asked in the last episode and see what answers we got. So last episode we asked, what movie yet to come out this year are you most excited for? Because we talked about some of the bigger releases that have happened over the last couple months, you know, but there's still big releases to come. It isn't all just Glass Onion and The Fabelmans. There's still a couple big ones, and we wanted to see what you guys talked about. And some of them I know, but there's a couple out here that I maybe got introduced to. So maybe now we can also be excited for them.
Yeah. So on Spotify, Joe said, All That Breathes. Are you familiar with this one?
Not familiar. I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, I think it screened at Sundance earlier in January, but it looks interesting.
It's about two birds as legions of birds fall from New Delhi's skies and the city smolders from the social unrest, two brothers race to save one of the casualties, a majestic black kite, a bird of prey essential to their city's ecosystem. This looks like a movie that definitely Joe would like, and that sounds extremely boring to me. But love the birds. Big bird guy.
Yeah, it has
so
some
enjoy.
Decent reviews, so I'll add it to my watch list, and if it hits,
you can let me know.
Probably Canopy or whatever, then
yeah,
I'll maybe put it on.
Well, here it says HBO.
Oh,
it's premiering on HBO next year, so maybe like it will get some small releases this year, then next year maybe it'll go to HBO, so that will be an easy to watch it there then.
So it's not a movie to come out this year, Joe,
unless maybe you live in like New York and some fancy near some fancy theater that only three people go to.
I guess it does count as a...
Yeah, you know, we'll let it slide. Let's head over to Twitter, where thank you to everyone that answered very last minute, because we forgot to ask people to answer.
Yeah.
And the second-handers came through with some great selections. Robbie said Babylon, which I would agree would probably be mine, is like one of the bigger ones that is yet to come out. And then also, though, gave honorable mentions to The Way of Water and Megan. Megan is, I think, might be a sleeper hit. The trailer looks pretty fun. So.
Yeah, is that an HBO movie? Like, would it?
I know it's coming to theaters in some capacity.
It seems like something that would go to HBO. I don't know. Like, one of those.
Technically, it says this release date is January 6, 2023. So, technically January still next 6th. Year. But might be a cool way to kick off the year. I feel like this is kind of primed too for a TikTok, TikTokification. You know,
I could see it.
Like Megan's coming, guys, and like I went to see Glass Onion with my sister and her cousin, who are both younger than me and probably more in touch with the culture. And they both seem pretty excited by this movie. Like, because I think, like, it has that hook where it's, like, a robotic, creepy doll. Everyone loves the creepy doll stuff, too.
Yeah.
So, I feel like this could be, like, the Black Phone kind of had a revitalization on TikTok. So, maybe one of those
things.
Yes,
very much so. Like, that, it's so popular on TikTok.
Yeah.
So, that's an interesting point. And then Jamie said... Sick, the Kevin Williamson film, which premiered at TIFF, which was, I think, how I had heard about it. It's kind of like, I think, a COVID horror film.
Yes. During the pandemic, Parker and her best friend decide to quarantine at the family lake house alone. At least they think they're alone. And that's all that it says.
Yeah, I probably won't be watching that. That's like my worst nightmare. So I think...
This kind of sounds like... Aren't they doing like another, the Shyamalan one is also not pandemic, but they're also like at like a lake house, kind of like forest woodhouse cabin. That's the word.
Yeah, that seems like a trend recently, because we had that other, what was that other cabin movie? Wasn't there another cabin movie that came out like last year?
Wasn't like, well, I think the Speak No Evil is like an Airbnb movie. And okay. Then also Barbarian is like kind of an Airbnb movie.
Well, I'm thinking of the one that came out, the our house one, the house thing, and they're like it's also like an Airbnb movie.
Our house that waits, our house. Our house, maybe it's just called Our House.
I think
from 2018.
It was called Our House. Oh, was it that old?
That's what it says.
No,
from here.
No, it was one that came out in like 2021 or 2020.
There's a mini series called Our House from 2022, but this doesn't look like what you're talking about.
No, no, no. It was. Let me find it. I know the poster. No, it was one where they like go on a trip. The Night House. The Night House. Was that it?
Oh, the Night House.
No, that's not even the one I was thinking of, but that also was a cabin. No, it was a different one.
I feel like maybe because with COVID filming restrictions, an easier set to have a smaller cast in just like one location, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that might kind of play a role in it, I think, for sure. Especially like, I don't think Sick seems like it's a very high budget film. Barbarian wasn't a very high budget film. So I think that is one reason maybe why, because it just is an easier plot to work with the restrictions that people were dealing with, at least like in the 2 years ago or a year ago.
One second. I need to figure out what this movie is called. I'm picturing the poster in my brain. It was like,
what does the poster look like?
It's like blue and it's a house. And the whole thing was about them like going on a trip, a vacation, and they get to the Airbnb house. I thought it was called House something. Is this a real movie? Did I dream this? Oh, The Rental.
Oh, right. The Rental. That was, isn't that, what's his face,
movie.
Franco?
Yes.
With Alison Brie. Yes.
They get the rental house. Okay.
Right. Now it is blue with the upside down house.
See, uh-huh. I was picturing the poster and I was thinking it was just called The House or something, but it's called The
Rental. Oh, and this is the guy from The Bear.
Oh, I love him.
Dan Stevens, wow, this looks good. But the ratings are not looking great, so maybe it wouldn't be worth watching. But
okay, well, anyway, we can move on. Sorry, I'm just...
Anyway, we figured mystery solved, and then I think then we can move over to Instagram where we got some more answers. Look at that, people coming through. We have two more for Babylon from Danny and Zach Smith, so big Babylon fans. Bryce said Glass Onion, and then in parentheses, very upset it didn't come to my city, which, you know, is a continuing story that has been going on Twitter. Like, apparently theaters asked for it to stay longer, and Netflix for some reason said no, even though they're literally doing nothing with it for this whole month. So there's like zero logic behind that decision. It's really stupid. One of the dumbest moves. And I think I saw last night that Amazon Prime passed Netflix as the most popular streaming service, like just yesterday.
No way.
maybe it's catching up to them now. And I feel like Amazon Prime is a little bit of like a cheat because if you have a Prime account, you just get it. So it's not quite the same thing, but it is interesting that like Amazon's, I mean, Netflix has been the most popular for so long, but.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon has some good shows.
Yeah, and a lot of weird movies. Like, they have, like, a lot of
weird movies, yes.
Strange, like, niche subgenres there. So, I could see. Also, it is Christmas, and so there's probably more people signing up for Amazon Prime right now because they want to get two-day shipping. So, it could just be a little spike, but let's not overanalyze. And then we got one last one. So Laura said, I watched Arthur Christmas after listening to your Almost Christmas Movies episode, and I cried multiple times. It was such a sweet movie, and I love Bill Nighy and James McAvoy, so it was the perfect Christmas smoothie. Thanks for the suggestion.
Wow! This is our dream, to convert people to become Arthur Christmas fans.
Yeah, this is the kind of recommendation you put like on the back of
the t-shirt, the
review.
Poster. We'll put it on our website. Like,
yeah. Oh yeah, the website, exactly.
We made Laura love Arthur Christmas.
Yeah, and we can also put that DM we got on Twitter where the person was like, actually, you are extremely pretentious. I think we could put that one too.
Yes, yes. And
then we could also put the one where they called you annoying on Apple Podcasts.
And then I have terrible taste in movies.
Oh,
it's so
yes.
funny because I wish I knew what movie they thought I like had bad taste in, which really could be anything. It could
a
be
lot
anything.
Of them. There's a lot of options out there.
Wow, that's so great, Laura. I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, you are deeply annoying, insufferable, and have terrible taste in movies. That's what they said. All right.
Yes, I am. I am deeply insufferable and annoying. And I probably do have terrible taste in movies. They probably listened to me say that Spooky Buddies is the greatest movie of all time, and they were like, what the hell? Like,
well, also, like, who, I mean, obviously, I know you love Spooky Buddies, but who is, like, have they never heard of, like, hyperbole?
Right.
Come on, man.
Lighten
I mean,
I
up.
Say that, but like, it's not in my top 10 favorite movies
right.
of all time.
They don't deserve to listen to the podcast.
No.
We will block them.
We did appreciate their review, though. I thought it was really
No,
funny.
It was a great review. Gave us a lot of laughs. Please review more on Apple Podcasts so we have more things to read and enjoy.
Or send us hate mail in our Twitter DMs. We love that too.
I think I'd rather receive hate mail than no mail. So
yeah,
let's do it. Keep the ball rolling. But let's go into our 2022 Hallmark movie section of this podcast. So if you've listened to these episodes before, the first two were a little bit more improv heavy, less like our regular episodes. This one is going to be a little different. This first half, we're kind of just going to give Kayla the floor more. I think I've seen one of these maybe. She can kind of maybe recommend some of the 22 Hallmark movies you should watch and the ones you should avoid. Because we usually do this in, like, another episode, but I think it's probably better to do it in its own episode so that, like, we can keep it for the real Hallmark heads. But yes. Then after the ad break, we will go into our process of making our own Hallmark movie, maybe trying to top some of the ones that you are about to speak on. So,
yes.
The floor is yours for this year's Hallmark slate.
Great. So I'm a little behind right now. There's so many movies this year. They release 4 or 5 movies every weekend. And then
wow.
like during Thanksgiving weekend, they release like 7 or something. So they have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday they release on the main channel. And then like the movies and mysteries, there's like one every weekend. So there's at least 4 every weekend. So I have watched 11 so far. I watched the first like full 2 weeks of movies plus a few here and there. So I'm definitely a little behind, but I do have some opinions on the ones I've seen. So I guess ones you definitely should not watch are the worst one of the year and probably the worst one I've ever seen, which is like, we've talked about some bad ones before, is Christmas Bedtime Stories. Do not watch this movie. It's so bad. And your mom watched it And
we
did message back and forth commiserating about how horrible this movie was. It's basically like, because this is so crazy, I feel like I have to spoil it and tell people.
Yeah,
so,
if you really are looking forward to watching Chris's bedtime stories, skip ahead like a few minutes.
Don't watch it. I will literally, like, if someone hears this and then is like, I need to watch this movie, we can't be friends anymore. So basically, like, her husband was in the military, and they're really bad at, military movies. I've talked about this before. Like, they try to do this, like, military propaganda because it works for their audience of conservative people, which is fine. There's always one or two every year. But the problem is, like, I don't know if they don't talk to people that are in the military, but they always get stuff wrong about the military. And, like, so my dad was in the military, so he always likes to watch these ones. And the whole movie, he's like, what? Oh, that's wrong. Those uniforms are wrong. What are they doing? She wouldn't be able to do that. What? Like, it's always so funny. So this one, I guess her husband, like, had been overseas in the Marines, and he, like, disappeared when this, like, plane crashed or whatever, but they never found his body. And so,
oh man.
But it's been like 2 or 3 years. So she is now dating the husband's best friend, right? And he
the husband's best friend?
Yes.
Oh.
I think.
Yeah. Racy.
So then he proposes to her, and the whole time you think it's going to be, she's like having signs and stuff about the husband. And you think it's going to be this whole thing about, like, the husband, like, giving her signs to, like, move on in grief, which, like, would have been good and, like, interesting.
Yeah.
And then in, like, the last 10 minutes of the movie, it's like, oh, we just, like, rescued all these, like, prisoners of war, like, POWs that were in a camp. And, like, oh, now the husband is, like, back and is going to the dance with the daughter. And, like, it is the most, like, shell-shocking thing that is, like, it's unbelievable that they did this, because they, like, set up the whole story with this other guy, and you're like, oh, they're cute, like, she's moving
and they
on
got,
this
the
is
other
really
guy
sweet.
Was nice, right? It wasn't like he
was very,
like,
nice, and he okay. was like being very patient with her, and he was like gonna take her daughter to the father-daughter dance.
Wow, this guy
this
seems
stuff.
Like a real king.
Oh, he is. And he was, like, way more attractive than her husband, so it was kind of disappointing. But yeah, it was crazy. And my dad was even like in the time that this guy got out of the POW camp, like, and returned home, it was like 12 hours. And my dad was like, she would not be able to see him for like weeks, because he would be in like all kinds of like debriefing, private information meetings, and like all this stuff. And like, it was so wild. So definitely.
And then what happened to the best friend?
I don't know. He just, like, disappeared.
It He's just, not like, in the rest of the movie?
It, like, didn't conclude. It was just kind of like, oh, okay. Like, she's
wow.
back with the
that
husband.
Sounds terrible.
That she hasn't been with for 3 years, and, like, her life has moved on. It was so weird. Yeah, so definitely avoid that one at all costs. It was really bad. All
right, will do.
And then the other one to, like, definitely avoid is A Cozy Christmas Inn, which apparently is a sequel to a movie that came out in, like, 2018.
This is one of the worst covers of any movie I might have seen.
And
this is really
basically,
bad
like, in the first one, apparently, my mom watched the first one, the dad is, like, probably Santa Claus. And, but you, like, it's really unclear if this guy is Santa Claus or not. And, like, the son is supposed to take over the business, but then he has, like, this inn with, like, an astronomy tower. I don't know. It was really bad. And the whole time I was like, is Santa Claus a drug dealer? Like, and has this, like, drug operation? Or is he actually Santa Claus? Because the whole thing was, like, he has this secret business that, like, employs the whole town. But, like, no one actually talks about what this business is. And he's, like, in this secret warehouse, like, I have these packages to ship. And it's like, what are we? Is Santa, like, a drug dealer?
Hey, never
it's,
know these days.
It's what
we gotta do?
The Be Real.
Oh, Be Real? We should keep this in the episode. All right. Great. Love it. All right. Keeping it real for the podcast listeners right now.
So then those are the ones that are like definite avoids. And then there's a few that are like in the middle that are like, they're fine, but they aren't great. They're not standouts, you know? A couple of the good ones. So A Kismet Christmas was pretty good. It's not like the best, but it was definitely like marginally better than other Hallmark movies. It's basically like the family has this Christmas cookie recipe, and like it has this kismet magic, and like if they make the cookie and then you put it under your pillow at night, then you dream of the person that you're gonna like, your soulmate or whatever. And so when she was a teenager, she dreamed of her crush, and then when she went to like go tell him that she dreamed of him, he was like, this was really weird, but he was like getting married. And so I don't know how she didn't know that he was getting married, but that was kind of a weird plot point. But then she comes back later as an adult and sees him, and then his kid like puts the cookie under their pillows, and it's a whole thing. So this one was fine. It definitely was like, it's really cheesy, but it works. And then another one that was decent was Noel Next Door, which is actually interesting because there were some things about this one that were like obviously very Hallmarky. And the kid was like extremely insufferable and annoying, which I feel like is very common in a lot of Hallmark movies. But the guy in it is disabled, which I thought was pretty cool, like that they actually included like a disabled like storyline. So he's like recovering from having a stroke. And so they kind of include this in the storyline of like him and kind of what he's going through. So that I thought was really interesting because I feel like it kind of taps into Hallmark like leaning into more diverse stories this year. Yeah. And I think it's pretty clear that they are. But I think that was a good example of them kind of like they're trying to do new things with characters and make it more interesting. So if you're interested in that, that one was pretty good. And then the best one, the absolute best one, and I don't know that there's going to be a better one this year. I think that this one was a standout, is Ghosts of Christmas Always, which is, I'm not normally a Christmas Carol fan, like the constant reiterations of Christmas Carol, but this one was interesting. Basically, the main girl is like the ghost of Christmas present. And then she's like with the ghosts of Christmas past and future, which are like really great, funny, comedic actors. And so they're like a great little team. And so every Christmas they go down, they like work for the Christmas spirit division. I don't know. But every Christmas they go down and have to like fix someone, you know? And so they have the assignment to fix this guy. And so then they go and fix the guy, but then they're like confused because like he's a good person, so, like he's not a Scrooge, so they're kind of like, what the heck. And so there's like a plot twist, and then like she's the ghost, but then she like falls in love with him. It's so interesting. There's a lot going on in it that was kind of like, wow, this is actually like really impressive and like kind of out of the Hallmark norm. So if you're looking for something that's like not just your standard like romance, this is the movie to watch because it like actually felt different.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So that would be the main one you would recommend.
Yes. Ghosts of Christmas Always needs to be on people's, like if you could watch any Hallmark movie this year, you should watch this one. That would be my advice. Yeah. So, but I have a 2022 Hallmark movies ranked on my Letterboxd. So if there's one that maybe like you're debating watching or you see on TV and you're like, I don't know if this one's worth it, maybe I should watch something, a different one, then like you can check out my list and see where I ranked it, and you'll kind of have a good idea of like if it's worth watching or not. My goal is to watch all of them. I'm gonna catch up this next week because my parents have been out of town, and like usually I watch them with them. So I haven't been watching as many the past couple weeks. So
a little behind, right? Yeah.
But we're planning on like watching a bunch and doing like a marathon and all that. So over the next couple weeks, if you follow me on Letterboxd, you'll see them all getting reviewed and piling up. Now, you did watch one.
Yes.
I watched the baby's one.
Three Men and a Baby, yes. I think it was called.
Which ended up being it's like the most watched TV movie of the year.
Wow. Like, that's actually wild.
Well,
like,
I mean, there's not a lot of TV movies, but. I think so. I think that was what I read. It had like millions and millions of people that watched it, apparently. Basically, what they did was they picked those three guys that are in it are the three most popular male Hallmark actors. So they're obviously, they like plan to have, and they're like all three like really good friends. And let me tell you this, if you want to watch this one, they are the three of the main Hallmark actors that are like progressive. So they're like very like...
Oh, all three of them?
All three of them. So they're openly like pro-LGBTQ. Like they post stuff about like Black Lives Matter. They went to protests. They post about going to Pride Month. So like if you want to watch one and feel good about watching someone who's not like...
A terrible person.
I will say most of those people have moved off of the Hallmark channel to Candace Cameron's shit show channel. So, yes. Yeah, so it said that Hallmark's Three Wise Men and a Baby becomes the most watched TV movie on cable in 2022.
Yeah, it wasn't actually that bad. I thought it was a really fun idea. I think it was one of the ones I've seen, which is probably not, I have not really said about many Hallmark movies because most of them I just like can't wait for them to end. But it was one of the ones that I was like, I think it actually suffered a little bit from the time limit. Like I would have liked to see a little bit more time because they were trying to do a lot of things. Like they're trying to get the main plot with like the baby and they have to take care of this baby, but also trying to get like love interests for all three of the characters and like wrap up all of their arcs. So it is like, I think one of the things it suffers from is being on Hallmark just because like they only have a certain amount of time that their movies can be.
Yeah.
I think just like a little bit more development would have made, because I think the story itself was like pretty interesting, or one of the more creative ideas I've seen, even though it obviously is a very overused trope with like these three guys who need to grow up or have to take care of a baby and get along. Like, but it was fun and it wasn't like super focused on relationship stuff, even though, like I said, there are three love interests kind of for each of the three characters. I liked one of those, and one of the brothers definitely was gay, and they put him together with this annoying client he had because he's like a dog therapist, and he got together with a dog therapist person, but it's fine. I was a little disappointed, but other than that, I thought it was fun, you know? Definitely not one of the worst ones I've seen. So if you're looking for one to watch, there's that one. Yeah.
Yeah, so here is the stats for you. It is the most watched Hallmark movie since 2019. So it beats all the Hallmark movies. So haha, Candace Cameron, thinking you were the most popular Hallmark person.
Yes,
you were not.
Get it.
And it had 3.626 million live viewers. And was that Saturday that it came out, it was the most watched non-football program that day. So
that's actually that's wild. Wow.
Yeah. So that was like, that's probably their biggest movie of the year. I was expecting that anyway, because the three of them were in it.
Three. Yeah.
I kind of figured that it would be.
Do what you got to do. That's what I say. You know, however you got to get the dough, get the bread. I don't know. But do it. Yeah, I think I can see why, though, because it is, I think, too, like just a lot different than maybe some of the other movies that they would have. So
yeah,
it provides some nice variety.
I will say, like, just to kind of wrap up about 2022 Hallmark movies so we can kind of move on. I do think, like, there was the whole controversy with Candace Cameron and a bunch of people leaving to have like family friendly content, basically meaning we don't like that you're doing interracial relationships and we don't like that you're having gay people in Hallmark movies. So that has been kind of a big controversy But Hallmark has like really, really doubled down on their like we support,
yes.
like on all their social media channels. They've been like, we support diversity. We want to be inclusive, and I think they do have a long way to go still. But I think for the most part, this year specifically, overall, and then also within the Christmas movies I've seen, it seems like they are trying. Like, you can see that there's effort there. There is only one actually like LGBTQ led film, and that one's not out yet. Like, they had, we talked about before, like they had the Christmas House movies, which had Jonathan Bennett, who's also doing this one, and like that was kind of the first big LGBTQ storyline, but there was still a straight couple in that as well. It was kind of more like a family like ensemble. So now this will be the first like actually like they're the main couple and it focuses on them. So that's kind of exciting. I wish there was more of that, but I think that this is still like pretty big for them. And there's been a lot of like side relationships in the movies that have been like, it's been very clear, like, because I think in the past it's kind of been like, they dance around it that they're like a couple or together, you know, like it's kind of like the random side character and they're like, oh yeah, they're probably gay. But like in these, I feel like it's been like, as the conservatives would put it, in your face. Like,
it's been in your face. You can't even, like, it's, you not, can't even ignore it,
like,
anymore.
You can't watch it and be like there's times that I've watched Hallmark movies with my conservative family members that I'm like, they're probably not getting that this is they don't get that it's a, you know what I mean? But in these ones, you can't watch it and not get it. You know what I mean? Like, you can't watch it and not know that they're in a relationship, which I think is a big step for Hallmark and like making that kind of more prominent. Like I said, I wish it was more, but I can see that they are making strides in diversity.
Yeah, like if you looked at the ones 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and compare them to now, there's like,
oh yeah, it's like leaps and bounds. And honestly, like I've said it before, they're doing better than Disney. Like, when you watch Disney content that are like, oh my gosh, we have a queer character. Like, this actually, like, they're, I feel like the diversity progress that they're making, unlike, yeah, like Simu's tweet where he's like, Marvel is actively like trying to be progressive. It's like, no, but Hallmark is actively, I think, trying to be progressive this year. So,
all right, good to know. Go out there and watch some Hallmark movies, everyone. You hear, heard it here first.
And they've partnered with Peacock.
Oh,
this
year.
I
did hear. Yeah.
So you
crazy.
Can actually watch a lot. I mean, not all of them, but there are quite a few new Hallmark movies on Peacock. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. That just gives a lot more accessibility because, like, not everyone has cable, you know?
Yeah. Like I can't watch any of the Lifetime movies this year because we don't get the Lifetime channel. It's really hard to apparently, which is so silly, access like Lifetime movies. So,
I love making it harder to get people to watch the stuff that
content,
I put out.
Yeah,
yeah,
but
it's great.
Seems like it's getting pretty accessible, or they're more accessible. So
that's
good.
Yeah, let's go to a quick ad break then, and then when we come back, we will get to just making our own Hallmark movie and figuring out, you know, can we make a movie better than the Christmas bedtime stories or whatever it was called.
Yes. And we're back.
All right. So here's how this is going to work. I have some certain elements that we are going to randomize, and you are the resident Hallmark expert. So if there are some things that you might want to adjust, add to, be my guest. I just kind of threw these together, you know, with what my limited Hallmark knowledge is. But we are going to randomize a few different elements of the story and then kind of go from there. So our first randomization element, obviously, has to be the setting. Where will our film take place? So these are the five options I came up with. So see if you want to add any, or maybe if one is like, maybe we'll just get rid of that one. All right. So I have a city.
Okay.
Unnamed city. Small town.
Great.
The North Pole.
Okay.
The suburbs.
Amazing.
And a military base.
Perfect.
All right. Let's spin. Thank you. Shout out to Wheel Decide for sponsoring this episode. Let's see where we what setting we're going to get stuck with here.
All right. Are you spinning?
I'm about to. I'm spinning it right now.
Okay.
All right. Our film is taking place in the suburbs.
Perfect.
So a lot to work with there, I think. You know, is this a red suburban town or a blue suburban town?
What are the first things? I guess we're about to find out here.
Yes. So now we are going to see if our main relationship is going to be a straight relationship or a gay relationship. Now, to even the scales, I have put 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 straight options and one gay option. So it is a little bit more even. If I wanted to make it more even, we could do like 40 straight options, but let's give...
Yeah, because that's really what it is. There's like 39 straight movies. Okay, great. All right.
Let's see. Ah, and straight it is. Unfortunate. But, you know, maybe next year we can do like 5 straight and one gay if they do
even,
a little better.
Even the odds a little bit.
Okay. So now we have the love interest wheel. So what we'll do is I'll spin it once. We'll take that one out because we can't have like 2 single parents, you know.
Do you want me to spin and you to spin so we each have a separate like...
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So read out the options that are
okay
here and see if you want to add or take away.
We've got small town hero.
Yeah. And that can be like they either like own a business or at least they've been there a long time and they help around the small town.
Yeah.
That's a
they
little
fix everyone's broken down houses. All right. We've got uptight business person. Classic. Love it. Somehow related to Santa, that comes into play a lot, more than you would think. Widow/widower, we've got single parent, and somehow connected to royalty. I think we got all the options there, for
okay.
sure.
Okay, perfect. All right, I'll spin and you'll spin. Are we gonna say I'll get whoever the guy is?
Sure.
Or,
yeah,
okay,
that's fine.
So we just need to decide, like, which is which. Okay, so let's see who the guy is gonna be. All right, so we got a widower. The first character, a widower. Classic.
Okay. And then if I get the same thing as you, do I just respin?
We'll just respin. Yeah, because widower and widow are too depressing.
Okay. Spinning. Uptight business person.
Yes, of course. That is a classic pairing.
So we've got uptight business person. And then, so that's me, the woman that I spun for, and then the male is the widower. And then we each have a best friend.
Yeah, do we want to have 2 best friends or just 1 best friend? That's why I put a question mark. I didn't know.
I feel like we should have two best friends. Because it's okay. usually, like, I guess my best friend, if we're going with the uptight businesswoman outlet, mm-hmm. it's usually the assistant when it's a business person. So maybe like yours is the best friend and mine is the assistant.
Okay, that's what we'll do. Okay, so for options here, I have straight, annoyingly straight, gay-coded, but it's not confirmed, gay-coded and it's half confirmed, or gay-coded and it is confirmed.
Perfect.
So
I think that hits all the bases. That really does, honestly. Great. Do you want me to spin first this time?
Sure, you spin first. Who's your assistant?
Okay, let's see. Usually the assistant is gay-coded, so let's see. Oh, the assistant is straight.
Oh, not annoyingly straight, just straight?
Just straight, yes.
Okay, all right. So I'll take straight off the board. So we might have annoyingly straight, but let's hope not. Let me reapply the wheel changes here. Wait, I want to get rid of straight, apply wheel changes. All right, let's see who my best friend is. Okay, this is a classic. Gay-coded and it's not confirmed. So
perfect.
Okay, well, you know, it was a good try. We didn't really get much representation in this one, I will say.
Yeah, unfortunately not.
All right, now we have to see what the conflict is. I have 5. I came up with 5 here.
Okay.
So it's either this is the conflict. Usually happens about 15 minutes left in the movie. So we'll see what we get. So one is a stupid misunderstanding involving someone's ex. So I guess that would
Classic.
Have to be the businesswoman.
Yep.
A stupid misunderstanding involving someone's job.
Also a classic. Wow.
Uh-huh. A stupid fight that isn't that big of a deal. So could run a lot of different directions.
Yeah, usually this is like a classic little minor miscommunication. And then they're like, yell about it. And
one person says something that is not 100% positive and it offends the other. So they kind of break out of the Hallmark mold. Maybe they aren't all sunshine and rainbows and it's like, oh, we're done. I thought that you were a nice person, but maybe not. And then lastly, the another classic is someone has been lying about who they are the entire movie.
Great. So, love it.
The one that is the only one that is a regular. Yes, definitely. Let's not have that. But everything else is kind of pretty stupid. So let's see what we get. Okay, one person says something that is not 100% positive and it offends the other.
Great.
That is our conflict.
That sounds fun. That could be interesting.
Do you want to do this final shot here, see what our final shot options are?
Yeah.
The last shot of the film.
All right, so it looks like you've got six options here that all are a kiss, obviously.
Of course. Because
that's how it works in these movies. Okay, option one, a kiss outside in the snow. Love it. A kiss at the airport, a kiss under the mistletoe, a kiss near a Christmas tree inside, a kiss near a Christmas tree outside, and a kiss at the altar. Wow.
Yeah, let's spin it. Let's see what our final shot of this film is going to be.
A kiss under the mistletoe.
Okay, yeah, all right. That's a good one. I think that will definitely be a crowd pleaser.
I feel like we're literally getting the absolute most basic.
We are getting a very basic one. Now, I also put in here two random elements that we will be adding to our film.
Okay.
And this is the one where there might be some ones you might want to add. Because there's obviously a lot of like little random things in Hallmark movies. So the first one is Santa is involved somehow. We don't know how, but he is involved.
Yeah, usually this would be, for an example, like there's some random person in the town that's like ringing a bell and they run into them and then he does Christmas magic or something. That's usually how it goes in these ones.
Option two is there is a Christmas pageant.
Perfect.
Number three, there's an annoying kid. Now, this we can maybe make this kid the widower's son or daughter, but it could also just be an annoying kid in the town. One of the love interests' parents is involved, so that means we have to like have them as like an active member of the story.
Okay.
There are conservative undertones about how people hate Christmas now.
Perfect. I mean, we are in the suburbs, so that one would work.
Without any gay relationships, only an unconfirmed maybe gay person. two baking montages. One of the love interests is secretly struggling financially.
Ooh. Dicey.
Or this is our final choice for a little bit of positive cheer. There is a gay side relationship.
Oh boy.
So is there any that you think we might want to add here?
No, I love it. I think we have a lot of great options here.
What about you randomize one and then I will see what the other element we are adding to our story.
Okay, I'll go first. Ooh, okay. One of the love interests is secretly struggling financially.
I think this one could easily be the widower because obviously, you know, maybe, I don't know. I just feel like that
maybe they lost everything.
Uptight businesswoman is probably doing fine, but maybe not. Maybe her business is failing.
No, I think it should definitely be the widower. I think that makes it more dramatic.
Yeah, especially, and that's a little bit unconventional. You know, the man is not.
And then that will be perfect to lead into the conflict.
Yes.
Because that can be, the conflict can be about money.
Yes. Okay. Element two is there is an annoying kid.
Well, it fits. It fits. It does. Fits everything else.
This is truly maybe the most cookie cutter Hallmark movie that we could have gotten.
Yeah, I mean, we had some other options in there, but It looks like the secondhand film produced Hallmark movie has unfortunately failed in diversity this year.
You know, we are one of the 39.
If you thought you were coming here for inclusive content, sorry, we can't provide it.
We are in the suburbs with a straight relationship between a widower and an uptight businesswoman. The widower's best friend is gay-coded, and it's not confirmed. The uptight businesswoman has a straight assistant. Our conflict is one person says something that's not 100% positive. It offends the other. Our final kiss is under the mistletoe. Our final shot, kiss under the mistletoe. Random elements are one of the love interests is secretly struggling financially, and there is an annoying kid. So, I guess what our next question is, so we're saying the widower, the annoying kid is the widower's kid.
Yeah, I think that's a good start.
He is also struggling financially, so probably his wife died. And now maybe they were both working, which I know is maybe not the Hallmark tradition. But if we want to go a little bit in that inclusive, maybe they're both working and now he's having a hard time being the only
person. Yeah. And also maybe like when she died, like maybe she ran like a local business and when she died, like he couldn't keep up with it. And so the business like went under. And so that's how like he lost all his money because like all the money was sunk. All their savings were sunk into the business.
Okay.
I feel like we need to back up a little bit and we need to name these characters.
Okay. Our widower lives in the suburbs. I think I'm thinking like a nice 3 or 4 letter name.
Okay. I mean, the classic is like going with like a Nick or a John
or a Joseph even.
Yeah. Adam.
I'm going with Adam. I think Adam is a nice name for our
like it's always here. Like top 20 male names. That's where it comes from. Okay, so our widower is Adam and his wife died whose name was Beverly. I don't know. That was the first name that came to mind. I feel like she should have had a Christmassy name and that's why he struggles with Christmas.
Like Noel.
Yeah, we've done Mary. We did Mary one of the previous movies. Yeah.
We did Holly.
I'm trying to think what's another like one that's maybe like slightly Christmas but not too Christmassy. Mm. Like it's not one that you're like, ooh, her name's Noelle. Like
Carol.
Carol could be a good one. The name Avery means Elf King. What?
Maybe we should do Avery just for that. I think that's
maybe the main person should be named Avery, the girl.
Okay. Businesswoman is Avery. All right.
Maybe the wife could be like Grace or something. Oh, yeah. Okay. Like
Amazing Grace. Yeah. Yes.
And then we also need to name the child.
Child.
Annoying child.
Is it a boy or a girl?
How about I do a quick generator. I'll do a name generator and then that will be the name and it'll decide if it's a boy or a girl.
All right.
Okay. The kid's name is Everly.
That's a girl's name,
yeah.
Well, and you know, that maybe can be a source of connection between her and Avery because they have very like kind of similar names. Avery and Everly. Perfect. Okay. What about our gay-coded best friend?
Ooh. Okay. I'm trying to think of like maybe a name that's like more like bougie,
like John, but he's like the French version, like
Jean. Yeah. Jean. We should do that just because it's funny.
Okay. John. And the assistant can be like,
it's got to be something basic, like some basic
Missy.
That would work. Like Rose. Jessica, maybe? Like
okay. We'll do Jessica.
Like something that's, yeah.
Yeah, Jessica. Very, very businesslike. And Avery, you know, I feel like is not as business. So it's kind of like maybe a little bit of a hint that, you know, this isn't her life. Because I think we're assuming that she will move to the suburbs because there's a kid there. So I think it's safe to say that.
Yeah, that's
and usually the woman
job.
Does change her life usually in the movie.
Yeah, they've been a lot better about it recently. Like I think that's another way they've been a little bit more progressive recently. But It's but definitely still a classic.
Looking at our list, it looks like this might be one of the ones.
The way to go. I mean, we're steering to the most like traditional Hallmark movie here, yes. Just with our options. So, okay, so now I feel like we can loop back around. We decided that Grace had, what did you say, a bakery that.
I think it should be like a bakery, and you know, you watched the Lindsay Lohan movie, right?
I did.
On Netflix. Okay. You know, like how there's those businesses in those movies, Hallmark movies and those kind of movies where it's like, I don't understand how this business would be viable when it's not Christmas.
Sure.
So like maybe like a very Christmas themed bakery.
Okay.
And it's like, what did they do with this bakery in like February? Like, how do they run this business? I think it should be like,
maybe it's a, like a spinoff bakery where it's like only gingerbread, and so it's like they sell like make your own gingerbread houses, like house things,
right?
Like that's what
could,
they do.
Even though we didn't have the conservative undertones about Christmas, we could like add something like, man, people just don't want to make their own gingerbread houses anymore. They only want to buy them from the store, the pre-made ones. And we're just trying to provide a little bit of holiday homemade cheer.
Yeah, I picture it as like, you know those like pottery stores where you go and like you paint your pottery? I feel like that's what this is. Like you go and make your gingerbread house.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like an event thing.
What is the name? Like
Ginger houses. It should be like, maybe like it should be like cottage something.
Mm, yes.
Like
the ginger cottage.
Christmas cottage.
Gingerbread.
And then that could be the name of the movie, The Christmas Cottage.
The Christmas Cottage, and then the bakery's called. Okay. All right. And again, that's one where it's like, how do they run this business? No wonder he's financially unstable because.
So then,
who's going to the Christmas cottage when it's not?
So
Christmas?
Then, is Avery then like the person who's coming to like buy the business or something?
I think, isn't it that we don't know that he's struggling financially? He's secretly struggling financially.
Yes, secretly. Okay. So she is there.
So now suburb, we have to figure so out
why. Yeah. So now we have to figure out like though, but why is she in town?
Right. Maybe she got like she's flying
is
home
she
for
like,
Christmas.
Does she? Yeah. So does she work for like an evil company, or is she just like a normal businesswoman?
I think it's an undisclosed business position.
Okay, so just she's like not like a real estate investor or like the lawyer who's like coming to destroy.
No.
Anything.
I think she's just like a little too caught up in her work and has not really. She has forgotten the joy of Christmas. I'm thinking, okay, she's flying to visit her parents. There's a snowstorm. She has a layover that, like, maybe there's just, like, a constant snowstorm and she doesn't get to go home until, like, maybe it's, like, the 23rd and she has to stay in this suburban town. I don't know where you want it. It doesn't have to be named. She gets, like, a hotel.
Okay, so she gets stuck in suburbia.
And there's, like, a
or
very
do you want to
small...
do the, like, car breaks down... Because that's a classic trope, too. Like
car breaks down, she has to go into
down,
the town.
She has to get her car fixed, but it can't get fixed for like 3 days. So she has to stay in the town. And then maybe...
Christmas cottage is maybe near her hotel or whatever.
Yeah, so she finds Christmas cottage, and that's where she meets him?
Yeah, sure. Like, she's like, maybe she's just looking for a way to kill time, and she looks on her phone like... Things to do in the area,
or maybe she's looking for a place to stay. The hotels are booked, but she finds Christmas Cottage and thinks it's like a place to stay. And then she walks in and realizes it is not a cottage, but in fact, a very poor business plan to make your own gingerbread house.
And okay, yes. So she goes there. He invites her to stay at his house, and for some reason she does because it's a Hallmark movie. Like she sleeps in his bed because he sleeps on the couch. And she stays there. And I know we're jumping ahead, but because she's a businesswoman, maybe she also like in the end comes up with like a more viable business plan for the Christmas cottage.
Of course,
maybe she turns it partly into. An inn.
Ooh.
Where it's like you stay there, but then you can also make gingerbread houses. Like
that's good. I like it.
Okay. All right. Getting, I think, okay.
Okay, that's a good base. I like it. I think that is, yes. That's some pretty solid starting point there.
How does Jean fit into this? Is he just like a friend from school, like that Jean, a high school friend?
Maybe
he's like the mechanic. I mean, I know he's supposed to be gay coded, so that might not work.
What, but, gay people can't be mechanics?
Well, I'm just saying if this is the basic Hallmark movie,
yeah, right.
I feel like they would make him be like, I don't know, own the coffee shop or something.
Yeah, or maybe he's the baker.
Yeah, yeah, okay, so like he studied in France, because he grew up, like, he studied.
Yeah, studied that's good. France. Maybe, or maybe he's French. Just Hallmark, yeah, he is French. French.
Or what about he is from France, but for some reason he has no French accent. Like,
yeah,
he, like,
okay, he was like an exchange student or something.
Yeah, or he just says he's from France, but like they couldn't find an actor that could do a French accent.
Sure.
So they just like,
sure,
got like
that
someone
seems
who
very Hallmark to me.
This is Jean. He studied in France,
so
about how to bake gingerbread.
He is he's the baker for the gingerbread place. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I think that works.
Jessica probably just someone who's like constantly calling, like,
yeah, like she talks to her on the phone. She's trying to like help her get out of the town faster. Maybe she's,
yeah,
trying,
like,
to find her like a rental car.
Yeah, like, oh, the rent, and she's British, like, oh, the rental cars are booked. I can't find any rental cars near the area. Where are you? Where's this suburban town? It's in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, just like a couple, just to remind you that she is a businesswoman, right?
Mm-hmm.
She, even as she transforms in like halfway through the movie, she starts wearing sweaters. She is still in the business world. She is not quite transitioned.
Well, into here's another thing. Here's something. Maybe she doesn't have any boots and it snows. And then the guy, Adam, has to give her some of his wife's boots to wear. He's like, I have these boots to wear. And it was like Grace's boots.
Right. Well, because she breaks down in the car. Maybe she had to walk in the snow and now her shoes are ruined. Like, she was wearing like flats.
Yeah, or like Louis Vuitton.
Right. She was decked out because it's the hot. She was ready for a nice time with her, for their family. Does she? Well, she has packed clothes, but she probably wouldn't have packed shoes. So she has some of her clothes. But maybe like she also gives her some of like his wife's clothes too, like a sweater or something. I don't know. Feel like. And that's how she finds out that he's a widower, because obviously he's not going to be like, hi, I'm a widower. But it's like, oh, how'd you have these shoes? Like, oh, they were my wife's.
Yeah, at what point does she meet the kid?
Maybe when the kid, like, she's sleeping, and then, like, she walks downstairs on the first morning, and then, like, there's a kid sitting at the table. Then it's like, who are you? It's the first day of Christmas break, and she's just, like, hyped up on sugar or something. And she's like, you want to go pick out our Christmas tree?
Yeah, that works.
Dad said we're going to pick out a tree today.
Yeah, that's a great bonding experience. They go to
it
Christmas
is a great
tree
bonding
lot.
Experience.
Oh, and then that's when they can do, she has to get the boots for that from the dead wife.
Yep.
And then when they're at the Christmas tree lot, they come back and they're decorating the tree. And then there's like some kind of ornament that's like, oh, mom always used to put this ornament on the tree or something.
But she died 2 years ago. She died like 2 years ago, and the other year they did not put the ornament up, and so she's like, dad doesn't says he doesn't want to put this ornament up anymore.
Yeah, that's good. And then the kid will go to bed, and then they'll have like a deep conversation about that and like Christmas, and
he's like, I used to love my wife and now she's dead. And then that's like kind
and then
of the
he's like
of it.
Well, yeah, and it's gotta be the whole I don't feel happy about Christmas, I like Christmas isn't the same that it used to be.
Yeah,
but
well,
I try
but
to do what
like
I can.
But yeah, he has
but
to kind of
like. I feel
like
it's because of Everly. Like, he does what he can.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, he tries to make Christmas as fun as it can be for Everly, but like he has lost his. Like, he still loves Christmas, but then he's like, ah, I run this fucking gingerbread thing, and I'm reminded of Christmas every goddamn day.
Well, and he started he started it with his wife, so it's like also like was their thing.
Yes,
and
he associates Christmas with Grace. But he still loves Christmas. Like, he wants to still love Christmas, I feel like.
Yeah.
But he's having a hard time reconciling his grief with the Christmas season.
And the Christmas cottage, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have a lot of it here. And so, like, they'll go along. She'll keep, she'll get a little close. Like, what are we saying? The car breaks down on, like, the 22nd. And so we have a little bit of time before Christmas. Because that seems like a solid time for Everly to stop being in school. Like, the 22nd or the 23rd is her first day
of
Christmas break.
Uh-huh.
So her car breaks down on the 22nd, wakes up the 23rd. They're going to get the Christmas tree on the 23rd. Okay.
Great.
Christmas tree lighting on Christmas Eve, perhaps?
Sure.
I mean, I know they usually happen earlier, but maybe it's like...
a town thing. Sure.
A town thing. Yeah. Party and the Christmas cottage kind of, I don't know. They have a booth there, maybe.
Yeah. They sell gingerbread cookies. Maybe they also have like a little make your own tiny gingerbread house thing at the Christmas festival. Yeah. I like that.
And that maybe when she can kind of see that even though she thought this was a dumb business plan, there is like an underlying sense of like town,
community.
I don't know, small town love community as part of that business. And like she sees the potential in the idea. And so they just need a little bit more push, you know, add that extra element to really help the cottage do its thing.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think also that one of the plot points should be that Jean is like actually a really good baker. And so they have to like kind of be, he should be expanding the like repertoire of the company and like what they do throughout the rest of the year. Like he has this whole thing that's like, I can do more than gingerbread. And so like,
I studied in France. I know how to bake other things.
Can you do a French accent?
Gingerbread. Even though, does he have a French accent though? Or does he just
well,
like...
remember it's like a really, really not good one.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Maybe
and
it's
sometimes
just
maybe
slight.
Some scenes he just drops it and then some scenes he has it again.
Are we inserting like, is that a love interest for him character? Or like, you know, like I said, like the side character that's like,
that could
be a love interest, but it's probably not. But maybe it is.
Maybe like a returning customer that loves his gingerbread and comes every day like, man, you make the best gingerbread, Jean.
But you know what would be great? If instead of the gingerbread, he's secretly making these other treats for the guy. Like he has like a special treat that's like, oh, here's a croissant. And here's like, you know what I mean? Like a crepe. Like he's making these other things for the guy that he likes. And then maybe Avery is in there one of the days he does it. And she's like, oh my gosh, like this is so good. Why don't you sell this in the store?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh. And he's, yeah. Okay, that's great. That's great. Because you'll have at least three or four scenes, you know, with that other guy building up what you think throughout the movie is going to be like, oh, this is his love interest. And then they just like, don't do anything with it. But the real Hallmark fans know.
Yeah.
That is John's crush, soon to be boyfriend. Yeah, that's great.
Perfect. Okay, so then the conflict. I feel like we got to lead into this kind of, obviously, he's having this financial crisis and the shop is like going out of business. But maybe also like Avery in the midst of this kind of like suggests to Adam that like they expand the business into something else.
Yeah.
And that like makes him mad.
Yeah, well, because she's not saying 100%, like, so that would be her not being 100% positive, like, being a little too real for a Hallmark movie, you know?
Yeah, where she's, like, she's just kind of, like, you could really do this. Like, maybe she doesn't realize he's, like, struggling financially yet, but she's kind of just saying, like, oh, I was, you know, Jean made this, and it was, like, so good, like, why don't you sell it in the shop? Like, kind of just saying these things without, like, thinking about them.
Yes.
And then
or without knowing that he has money problems as much as he does.
Yeah, and then him also being like, but it was my wife's shop, and it was her idea, and she was the one that wanted to do the gingerbread. Like, you know what I mean? So it's offensive in that way as well. Like, it's not
right,
just...
Right, too. Not just that he can't do it maybe financially, but also, like, she's trying to take the place of his wife by... It's like a subconscious aversion.
Okay, okay. Yeah, deep. Wow.
Maybe she's wearing her sweater during that scene as like a visual reminder.
Ah, wow.
We're kind of maybe too good for
Christmas.
That might
be too deep for a Hallmark movie.
Oh, man.
So I feel like they need to kind of have like a falling out here.
Yes.
And then maybe he says something like hurtful in return that's like, well, you don't know what it's like to like be losing your business and everything you know. And that's when she's like, oh my gosh, it's going out of business.
Or get mad. She doesn't understand why he's mad, but then.
Like John tells her.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. John tells her maybe like she's about to leave. She gets the car is back, you know? She's about to leave, and then she like has like, but I just want to say my last goodbyes, and he gives her a free gingerbread for the road or a free secret treat for the road. And then
good old John.
He just says it like in passing. Like, you know, Adam always loves his shop. He loves these shops.
I was gonna say maybe she'll say something about like we'll come back. I'll come back next year. And then he's like, and then he's like, if there is a next year, like
if the Christmas cottage is not closed.
Yeah, like something that's like ominous. And then she's like, what do you mean? Yeah, I think that would be good.
And then how do we kind of wrap it up? I mean, the kiss under the mistletoe is like falling action. Like, but we, like, how do we mend the relationship that has been built?
Okay, here's what we do, because I feel like this is what Hallmark would do.
Mm-hmm.
Is like maybe Jean gives her the thing, and then he also like has like maybe a card that like Everly drew for her or something that was there, and he was like, oh, Everly left this for you or something. And then she kind of has this moment where she looks at it and she's like, maybe I should go say goodbye, I guess. So that like brings her back to the house. And then, she's there to like specifically say goodbye to Everly. And then like the dad shows up in the background, like on the stairs or something, and he sees her, and then they share like a wistful gaze. And then she says that she needs to like talk, or then she says something, brings up the shop or something, and is like, why didn't you tell me? Or something like that.
Yeah. And he's like, I was too embarrassed, or I didn't want to worry you, or I don't know. I just met you 3 days ago, but they wouldn't say that. But like, that's what you would be saying on the couch. Like, maybe that's why. Okay. For this to work, I think we need to move all of our dates back by one. So her car breaks down on the 21st.
Okay.
She wakes up on the 22nd.
Okay.
The Christmas tree night thing is 23rd, maybe. And then she's about to, the fight happens on the night of the 23rd. And then John tells her everything on Christmas Eve.
Okay. Exactly. Yeah. I think that's perfect.
Yes. And we just need like, so maybe Jessica isn't like involved somehow in like drawing up a new business plan for how they do things. Maybe we could even be like, does her business maybe help other small businesses? And,
like maybe they're like, you know, girl power, like investing in businesses and entrepreneurship, and they're like really cool. And like, she is uptight. But it's like her uptightness is because she's so focused on her work. But like, it's actually like, I feel like then we can actually make her do like good work.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely. And then in that scene that they have the fight, she could be like, this is what I do. I help businesses. And he's like, I don't want you to fix my problems.
Okay.
That works.
So then there's mistletoe.
Mistletoe, maybe Christmas morning, Christmas day, or...
Or right then. I feel like it needs to be like...
Just on the 24th. And then
like
they kiss.
She's there, and then they're like, maybe they have this like hand-holding moment. Maybe she like hands him something. Maybe she gives him the sweater back, and then like their hands touch, and then they kiss over the handing off of the dead wife's sweater.
No, this is what happens though. Okay. He goes into the house. She goes into the house. They share their wistful gaze. We get a fade cut into the Christmas Eve party that someone has name dropped before. So we know there's going to be a Christmas Eve party.
Okay.
At the Christmas cottage. And Jean is just like, because, you know, maybe he's like, it's time to go for it. He is also at the Christmas party. Some of the food is some of his little goodies. And it's the first time that Adam has ever seen these. And he like, that's when he realizes,
okay,
this is the plan. This is it. We've got to step up our game with these goodies that John brings to the table.
Oh, I love it. That's perfect. The successful gay baker.
Maybe they kiss at the party then. And they're okay. Like, you're right all along.
To make sure she goes to the party, I think maybe like the party was a build up this whole time. And then like they kind of convince her to stay for the party. Like she was going to leave, but then they're like, well, just stay for the party and then like drive to your family's Christmas.
Stay for Everly. Everly's been looking forward to this all the last 2 days of you being here. And with Everly, I feel like she doesn't have to be super plot heavy. She's just annoying in the background. She says an annoying line every now and then, I guess. Like, oh, yeah, I love this gingerbread. look at the lights, Daddy. Like, something like that. Yeah, just cutting it every now and then.
Okay, so I know we said that our final shot was the kiss under the mistletoe.
Well, it doesn't have to be the final shot.
Yeah,
it's just,
I feel like we need, like, one of those one-year-later things that they like to do.
Yes.
Where it shows, like, maybe they've changed the name of the shop to, like...
Yo, maybe they have an awful name before, and the name that they change it to is the name of the movie. Maybe it isn't the Christmas Cottage until the 1 year later. Like,
but,
or
but
it's a better name 1 year
later. Brand, if they're trying to move the brand away from Christmas,
that's
true. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, maybe the shop is named something different, and then, like, Jean is, like, maybe, like, the Cookie Cottage?
Okay, maybe that's... Okay. The movie's called The Cookie Cottage, but the shop in the beginning is called The Christmas Cottage. And you're like, what? Why is this called The Cookie Cottage?
And then it pans up. They're like walking into the shop as a family, and then it pans up and it's like The Cookie Cottage.
The Cookie Cottage.
But then it cuts in, and maybe like Jean is there and the boyfriend is there, but it's still not clear that they're like together. And he's like baking, and they're like putting out the baked goods in the...
Yes.
Display case, and there's still gingerbread cookies, and then there's others, and then the final shot is her like grabbing a gingerbread cookie and eating the gingerbread cookie.
Okay, yes. And maybe they can kiss again after she eats the gingerbread cookie.
Yeah.
I think that'd be a good one. And so, as to be clear, we're going to just drop the idea that the Christmas Cottage is turning into a motel. I think I think it's better if it just changes into a regular bakery, really. That's the point. So that's how the business model expands, is she realizes this is a really terrible business idea. We have to unbrand from Christmas. And you could still have Christmas as part of it during December, but Jacques Jean. It's not that French. Not that French. Jean can contribute his other goodies as the year goes on as well.
Okay.
I think what this movie shows is that whoever Grace was a terrible businesswoman and really had no concept of how to have a successful...
Well, Adam is no better.
Adam is just following his heart, you know? If she came up with the idea, Adam is just trying... It was really her vision, I would say. I think that, you know, Avery really saves the day here and actually turns it into a viable business model. Maybe even Jessica is in... the final scene.
Oh, okay.
Because have seen FaceTimes. They usually like to do the FaceTimes.
Yep.
Because no one FaceTimes really in real life, but in Hallmark, they want to show you their names or their faces. So Jessica's just in the final scene, you know?
Yeah,
or,
I think that's
perfect. You know what would be the final nail in the heart?
What?
If the boyfriend for Jean is there in the final scene, but then Jean and Jessica kiss.
Oh,
like in the background.
No.
That's what they would do. That is what they would do.
No,
and it's like,
that would be terrible.
It's like,
maybe they don't kiss, but I feel like it's like implied.
Or they're like, they're like hugging or something. Like
yeah.
Holding
oh,
hands or something.
Man. That hurts so much. But they would. I could, well, maybe not now, but like Hallmark 4 or 5 years ago definitely would have.
Yeah. So. Any of the older people watching can be kind of like, oh, phew. He was just a little weird, but he was just French, but he's not that weird.
But he's not gay. He's just French.
Well, that's what they would say during the movie. Like, there would be a couple of people like, maybe this guy's gay. Like, no, guys, he's just French, all right? And then at the end, they're like, see, I told you. He likes
just
Jessica.
French.
Oh, man.
Well, that is hilarious. Yeah, I think it's great. I think it fits in. It hits all the good emotional beats that, like, people need to be like, wow, that actually, like, said something. But then it
about
also hits, hits the other, and it gets enough of that, like, goofy Christmas spirit.
I think John would be some great comedic relief, because if he has the bad French accent sometimes, I think it's, like, in an unintentional comedy a little bit, where it's like, oh, classic John, classic, always with the little one-liners. I actually think that this could be a Hallmark movie. Like, if we scripted it out, maybe made a couple tweaks depending on what... I feel like we could write a legitimate Hallmark movie with this.
Yeah, I mean, I really agree. I mean, this was basically our writer's room for it.
Yeah.
Brainstorm session. So
yeah.
Any Hallmark writers out there, if you listen to this, we would be willing to sell you the rights to The Cookie Cottage.
I think the name thing is the best. I think the name thing is the one thing, too, that's like... too good for Hallmark. They never that's
they wouldn't
too,
do that. Yeah, it that, would
it's
still
too
be
much
like
for their viewers.
The
They'd be
cottage.
Like, people are going to be confused why it date changed. But I think for that's what will give ours the extra edge.
The edge, yeah, the cookie cottage. I like it.
And it's a little bit of a metaphor for how he's also moving on from like his grieving process. You know, like you know he changed the name.
Wow.
Right. But so maybe there's also a picture of the dead wife like on the. In the restaurant, like that's
yeah. I actually thought that. I didn't say it, but I thought it. Like when they go in, it's like it will pan up and it'll show like a picture of them from before. Like maybe when they first open the shop, and it's like a picture of him and like Everly younger and the wife, and it's like there with them with like a gingerbread house.
Perfect. Love it. I think The Cookie Cottage will be 2023's top movie on your Hallmark list.
I love it. Oh. I think it's great. I can see the Letterboxd reviews now.
Yeah, they're like, Everly is like, I just wanted to dropkick Everly this entire movie. Jean is iconic. I can't believe they put Jean and Jessica together. 0 out of 5 stars. I don't know. Or John is definitely gay would definitely be like multiple reviews.
Yeah. I mean, that would be my review.
Yes. Yeah. Like justice for John.
Give us the John cut.
When Grace was in that conversation with a dead wife sweater, I knew this wasn't going to go well. I don't know. I think there a lot of the classic moments are here. So our question of the week then I think should be come up with your best Christmas Hallmark movie title. So that's just like we did the Cookie Cottage, obviously, but you could do whatever you want. You could go the alliteration route. You could go make sure you have Christmas in the title if you want to. Off air, I was saying you could do Uncle Sam's Christmas Miracle, which could be military based, but also Uncle Sam is a character in the movie.
Yeah, some of the other ones from this year were like In Merry Measure, Jolly Good Christmas.
Yeah, you could just take a Christmas lyric too,
we
like
wish you
what
a
wonderful
merry
ride.
Christmas.
Dashing Through the Snow. I don't know. I don't think you could take one from Rudolph, so maybe don't use that one. But it's the most wonderful time of the year. I don't know. Yeah, you could go to any Christmas song and just kind
yeah,
of
or just do any
too.
Other random like. There's so many like weird Hallmark movies like Candy Cane, Christmas, Christmas.
Oh man, Christmas in the
Match, Home for Christmas.
Oh, that's too basic. Home. How many movies are made?
They
I bet there's like at least 5
of
Home
like
for Christmas,
Christmas
movies.
In blank. Christmas oh, yeah. in blank. So you could have like Christmas in
Christmas
California.
In the Slammer.
Christmas in Florida.
Yeah, wait, what's like a really Christmas in Portland, because like maybe people think like, oh, there's no Christmas in Portland. What a juxtaposition, all the liberals. They
Christmas
don't celebrate
Christmas. Christmas in Texas. That would be one that would be on the new GAC family one. Candace
Yeah,
Cameron's.
Christmas in Texas. Yeah, definitely.
Texas Christmas. Pride, let's go.
Christmas in Cali would be on Hallmark. Yeah, I think so many options. So let us know your best option. And then we will read that answer in our next episode, which will be our final holiday season episode.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about those, like, as we said, those 2022 Christmas movies. There are some new ones. I'm seeing Violent Night tonight.
Yes, I'll be seeing it this next week. We'll also be talking about Spirited, Apple TV, like Ryan Reynolds, Will Ferrell movie, Christmas Story, Christmas. There's some kind of Netflix ones. We mentioned the Lindsay Lohan one, plus Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special. So there's a lot of ones that came out this year that we'll be talking about.
Yeah, I think, like, this, I don't know. People don't usually talk about, like, Christmas movies that came out this year a lot, where it's like, they only talk about the classics, but I feel like it's a very interesting exercise to go through and see what are the Christmas movies that are being released this year that, like, the studios are releasing. And see where we are in the era of this year's Christmas content. And not to give spoilers, but at least from what I've seen, it is not a great year for Christmas content.
It doesn't seem that. And there's also, like, there's a new animated Netflix Christmas Carol that just came out that I heard ended up being really bad. I don't know. I saw on Twitter today that it was not good.
Common Netflix L.
Scrooge, A Christmas Carol just came out. Anyway, so there's a lot of, we'll maybe talk about the two episodes of the Santa Claus show.
Yep.
On Disney Plus.
Oh, I forgot this movie Senior came out on Netflix. I definitely want to watch that. That's not Christmas, but the Robert Downey Jr. movie. We don't have to include that.
Oh,
but I just,
yes, right.
That looks like a good documentary I want to watch. Anyway, I think, besides that, though, I don't have anything else to say. Tune in next week for those great thoughts on the 2022 Christmas movies.
Yeah. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, 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 baby. And until next time, I'm Noah.
Oh, my gosh. And I am the Grinch.
And we're
your second hand. Film critics. Ho, ho, ho.
Justice for Jean.
God bless us, everyone.